Welcome, everybody, to the first episode of the Dorky Mets Show with co-hosts Dell and Corne. Introduce yourself, please, Corne.
Hello, everybody. I'm Corné Hogeveen from the Netherlands. Happy to do a Dorky Mets show with Dell and happy to talk some Mets, what happened over the last couple of weeks, I guess. I think 2 weeks. So
Yeah.
let's get into it.
Yeah, definitely. So we're both writers for Mets Junkies, as you guys are probably familiar with us. We've done the Mets Junkies podcast. This show is going to be more of a nerdy output. We're going to give more into stats and such. But the biggest thing we want to talk about to start off is the Mets made a move, Corne.
Yeah, we signed Albert Almora Jr., our next Juan Ligera slash Jake Marisnik.
Yeah, I mean, it's no Trevor Bauer, but we definitely needed a center fielder, and I think it's a good signing. But I'll let you get more into it because you actually wrote an article about him.
Yeah, I wrote an article about Albert Almora Jr., and we all know he's mainly a defensive guy. Since 2017, he has a plus 14 outs above average in center field, which is really good. Hitting wise, it isn't great. He has some type of slight success against lefties. He is pretty terrible against righties, so he won't be in there too much against the righties. But like I said, overall, he's in there for his defense, and we needed a guy who can be a great defender. And with that, we also have him under control for a couple of years. He also has a minor league option. So moving forward, we have some versatility on the roster wise with Almora, and we have definitely added versatility in our team because
Yeah.
Nimmo and Heredia were the only center fielders we have, and Almora is definitely a great, great defensive center fielder.
Well, I disagree with you. You keep forgetting about my boy Malik Smith. I think he's going to surprise you, Corny.
Yeah, well, I was going to mention that later, so
Oh, sorry. Yeah, spoiler alert.
that's okay.
So, all right. Another thing about this signing is, like you mentioned, he's a right-handed hitter. I think that did they give the details of how long we signed him for and the contracts? I haven't seen the total amount yet.
Well, he probably it is a a type of 1 year deal, but we have him under control for 2022, so it's actually a sort of a 2 year deal. But because he was DFA'd, we still have control over him.
Yeah.
I don't see that his major league signing bonus, or I don't really know how to say
So
it right now.
we're basically taking the arbitration years that the Cubs turned down,
Yeah,
and
exactly.
the Mets gained the control that the Cubs decided not to pursue.
Exactly.
Okay, well that's great. And there's also news that there might be more signings. I'm excited about that. I think Andy Martino released a tweet about that.
Yeah, it all depends on what type of signing. I mean, I don't want them to get Jake Arrieta or something like that. I aim for a little bit higher.
Like Jake Odorizzi, another Jake.
Yeah, I
So
like Jake Odorizzi.
we have the
Right
three
on.
layers of Jakes, right? We have the Jake deGrom, the Odorizzi, and the Arrieta. So if we want to get
Yes.
above the Arrieta.
Exactly. Jake is
Gotcha.
ace, Odorizzi is middle of the road, and Arrieta is wasted. So
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
let's get the middle of the road.
Yeah, that's I mean, we definitely need it with the Braves also made a big move, a shocking move to me that they were able to get Ozuna so cheap. So we definitely need the help.
We do. That's a nice bridge to our next subject, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you like that. I'm glad you like that. I was
Yeah.
Yeah, so our next subject is basically, I'll let you introduce the next subject. I'm going to take a sip of soda.
All right, that sounds good. Yeah, our next subject is do the Mets have what it takes to beat to take over the National League East? So, actually, we can all I think we can agree that Atlanta Braves are our main competition for the National League East. So, yeah, the question is actually, are we better than the Braves right now if you look at our roster right now? I don't know if you are ready with your ship, but you can go first if you want to.
Yeah, I mean the Braves, they have a pretty scary squad. I think when they added Charlie Morton, that kind of, frustrated me. One, because I really wanted the Mets to sign him. Two, I think Morton is a sneaky sign, and he can do some major damage.
Yeah, that's. I mean that rotation is already really good. So Charlie Morton is exactly the type of pitcher what they needed. Just a steady mid-rotation guy, experienced. I think they needed that with Soroka, Fried, Ian Anderson. I really like Ian Anderson. Well, not because he was with the Braves, but I like what he's doing out there. So that's a very formidable four. Very, young. Under controlled, cheap starting rotation and really good. And I think still people underestimate the power of the Atlanta Braves. They also have always excel in pretty strong defense. They have a pretty good lineup. I think their bullpen is becoming a little bit worse without Melanson, and I thought Shane Green is a free agent, if I
Yep.
remember correctly. So
Yep.
they lose out a bit on that department. But man, also re-signing Ozuna, I have that bet. I hope for them that they have a DH. I hope for the Mets that we have a DH. But yeah, then they are pretty scary. And at this point, I don't think the Mets are better than the Braves. I think the Braves have a better rotation. If we did sign Bauer, I think we had a better rotation. But right now, they have a better rotation. I have a lot of more depth, a lot of more young. Guys that are in the upper level that are pretty good and can step in right away. So yeah, I'm a bit scared for the Braves.
I agree with you. They definitely have a pretty good rotation. I think Ian Anderson is actually, right now he's not the ace, but I think he will eventually be the Braves ace in the future. I love what he does. He's a great pitcher. And, not saying that I root for the Braves here, guys, but I'm a baseball enthusiast, and when I see exciting players, I gotta, tip my hat to them. And that's what I'm doing here with Ian Anderson. I think Cornet also is tipping his hat to them. The bullpen, I think the Mets are in a better situation with the bullpen here. Given that, we got, I think Diaz is going to have a great year. We have May. Lugo's probably going to go back, in the bullpen. I do see the Mets getting another starting pitcher, like a number five guy, so that way we don't have to worry too much about using Lugo as a starter or spot starts. So, yeah, and the Braves, they have such a great farm system. So there's a lot of young guys who are going to come up. I mean, Christian Pache is not listed on the depth chart right now, but I think likely he's going to be their center fielder, and Acuna is going to move over to right. So there's a lot of threat there. First of all, having Acuna on the on your roster, that's just, he's such a scary player to approach because he's got all the tools, Austin Riley at third base, he's a big swing and miss guy. So I think if I had to compare him to Davis, I think we're better off there. So it's interesting to look. And you got to compare Freeman to Pete Alonso. I think Alonso's going to have a great year. Is he going to be better than Freeman? That's hard to say.
You want
The
to say
catcher. Yep, go
yes.
ahead.
I'm say yes with Alonso. You want to say yes, but Freeman is, oh man, Freeman is so good. I like that
He's
dude so
consistent.
much.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Freeman has been doing it for years. Alonso still needs some more year under his belt before we can. I think in the future he could be, just as good as Freeman, but Freeman's just
That would be nice, though.
Yeah, if Alonso can boost his on base percentage, I mean, you can make the argument that he can put up Freeman-like numbers. That's the
Yeah,
thing about
probably.
Freddie is that his on base percentage is phenomenal.
Definitely, definitely. He's just
Yes.
Freeman is just a more complete hitter, more complete player than Pete. And I love Pete, but
Oh, you know I love Pete too. So yeah.
I especially wore my Pete Alonso jersey for this podcast for you, so
Nice. So let's see. How about defensively, the comparing the two teams? Guillorme at third base, and this is probably gonna be a break into our next section. So I'll hold off more talk about Guillorme. But I think overall the Mets still have to make a few moves to tweak the defense up at third base. And center field, I like the Amoros signing, so that's definitely a good step to the next direction. And if it comes to the playoffs, that's what's going to be key here is the pitching and defense, I think, because there's no question to me about the Mets' bats. The Mets have a great bat.
yeah, the lineup. I think the Mets lineup is better than the Braves lineup,
Yeah, definitely.
and I agree with you that Mets have a better bullpen than the Braves have. But yeah, I mean overall, and also the Mets have added depth, but the Braves depth is always yeah. What you said, their farm system has been so good that they can fill in whatever they need, and have a pretty successful player. And a couple of players from the Braves really took a step forward. Dansby Swanson took a step forward.
Huge step forward.
Yeah, Riley was better than he was in the years before. So, yeah, all in all, Travis d'Arnaud had a really good year. All those guys had a really good year. So maybe they aren't getting that type of good year out of them because they maybe return a bit to the pack. Let's hope. Let's hope. I think the Mets then have a shot, but right now I give the slight edge to the Braves.
Now, what about the other NL East teams? What do you think about them? Do you think the Phillies or the Marlins or even the Nationals have a chance to compete as well?
I don't see the Marlins. I don't see the Phillies as a true threat. I mean, they are an iffy team. I don't really know what to think of the Phillies. It's all a bit meh for me. They have some good players, but yeah, meh. They also lack a lot of depth. So the bullpen, they have done some additions to the bullpen, but it's not all that I think wow or something like that. So I think the Phillies are like the fourth or maybe even fifth place team. I only think the
Wow.
Nats have a sneaky, sneaky offseason this year. But a lot of ifs for them. If Josh Bell gets his 2019 year going, if Kyle Schwarber returns a little bit to his form, they obviously have Juan Soto, who is really good. They have the three-headed monster in the rotation, but they all lingered a bit with health issues and underperformance last year. So yeah, maybe
Yeah.
that finally is catching up to them. So a lot of ifs for them. If all
They
falls well
also,
for them, they can be dangerous, but I don't really see
yeah, they also added John Lester, I believe, right, to their rotation. So,
true.
that's experience there. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a Cy Young caliber pitcher, but he's got experience, and sometimes, veteran presence can help the team take a big step forward.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because they also won the World Series a couple of years ago, so let's not. Nobody was expecting that, so who knows what other surprises they can have. Never count them out, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
But still, I think over a long season they have what the Mets had the last couple of years that you always said in the during spring training, like yeah, the pieces have to fit into puzzle or something like that, of the pieces that fall
Yeah,
together, and
you
then
got to
it could
find
be
the
a good
right.
year. And I feel that
Yeah.
way for the Nationals right now.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you got to find the right pieces of the puzzle and put them all together, and you know, we'll see what happens. But you know, I think if you want, we can go talk about our next section.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I thought it'd be fun for us to talk about players last season who don't really get the credit that they deserve for the Mets. I know the Mets had a horrible year, but there were still some players that shine in that team that should get some merit for their accomplishments. And so I got Andrés Giménez as my unsung hero for 2020. Who'd you get, Corne?
I went with starter David Peterson.
That's a good one. Yeah. So
shall I go first?
All right. Yeah, go for it.
Well, I'm going to be honest. Before 2020, when I looked at the Mets pitching depth and saw that Noah Syndergaard went down and Stroman opted out, I was very, very worried about our pitching staff, mainly because we didn't really have much upper-level pitching depth. We didn't have a lot of pitchers that I truly believed in to fill in a rotation spot. And one of those pitchers was David Peterson. That was one of the pitchers I didn't really believe in. Talk to my friend Andrew. He always liked David Peterson, and I always thought, I don't expect big things out of David Peterson. His minor league numbers didn't wow me. Obviously for us as fans, we don't see minor leaguers pitch a lot, so it's all looking at statistics and scouting reports, but the statistics were very iffy in my opinion. And I wasn't mad that the Mets traded away Anthony Kay because I didn't really believe in Anthony Kay. I wasn't mad that the Mets traded Justin Dunn because it was another type of pitcher where, it was meh for me.
And yeah, David definitely.
David Peterson was in that group for me. He was meh. Well, let's hope that he's good, but I don't expect a lot. Probably, a 4.5, 5, close to 5 ERA. But man, he was good. David Peterson was good.
And he surprised me too.
Yeah, I really didn't expect him to be that good. And I expect him to, get a little bit worse in 2022, but I was extremely impressed as how he poised himself on the mound, how he got out of trouble. I remember I guess it was his debut where he got out of a bases loaded one out jam and struck out JD Martinez with a fastball up and in, where JD Martinez swung right through. And it wasn't the only time that he got out of big innings, and that's what I want to see in a young pitcher, how you poise yourself when you get in trouble. And he did terrific. No wrong words to say about how and it was a big surprise for me.
Yeah, I mean, considering it's his first time pitching in the bigs, that the way he finished that 3.44 ERA was remarkable, really. I mean, it's a short season, so I mean, his durability wasn't really tested, right? He only threw 49.2 innings, maybe as he gets stretched out, we can see that number being manipulated. And not to talk bad about him, but just trying to point out the facts here, based on the stats.
Yeah, and his expected ERA was also around four, mid-fours, if I remember correctly. I don't have my laptop in front of me.
Yeah, his FIP, I like to look at the FIP, the fielding independent, and it was 4.52. So,
yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, that's
right
around the expected ERA was on Baseball Savant as well. So,
yeah. So there's definitely some questions about their ability, but I think as a fifth guy, or as a backup guy, he's a good piece. And do you think moving forward he could be utilized as a lefty in the bullpen, like for long relief?
No, I want him as a starter. And I think,
As a starter?
yeah, I think he's capable, like you said, to being a. We don't need to expect lights out numbers from a fifth starter. If
Right.
you get a 4.25 ERA out of your fifth guy, and the rest of your rotation just does his job, and you have a solid offense, I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. And yeah, I mean, why would you make a starter who has been fairly good, a reliever in this point of his career? I wouldn't do that.
That's true. Also, like you got to keep in mind that even though his expected ERA was around 4.5, that 4.5 is actually not too bad. If you think about it, a quality start, if somebody was to throw a quality start every single game, that's exactly what a 4.5 would equate to. It's if you do the math. So he still can throw quality starts with that expected ERA. So he's definitely got some, he's a, got a, you know, a lot of potential there to be a good fifth guy. I just want to see him with a large workload, because the most he's ever thrown is 116 innings, I believe, in 2019.
Yeah,
Yeah,
around
so
there. Yeah, but
yeah.
he will probably be on some type of innings limit this year. But we have enough. We have Yamamoto now. We have Lucchesi now, so it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easier to do that right now.
So your hero's gonna start in the minors, you think? Triple A?
Sorry, who?
Your unsung hero, Peterson, is he gonna start in Triple A next year?
Oh, after they traded away Mats, I don't think
Yeah.
Peterson will start in AAA. I think he will start the year in the majors, but it all depends on how Noah gets back, because I do believe the Mets add one more starter on a major league deal. So I see Lucchesi maybe being depth in AAA to start a year. And when Noah Syndergaard comes back, who knows what happens, and injuries will always happen. So maybe with Noah coming back in May or June, the Mets have an injury somewhere in their rotation, and Peterson can stay in.
Yeah, that's true. Injuries always do seem to happen or inevitable. So I'm excited to see what it does next year then. Let's see.
Yeah, same. Yeah, very curious.
All right. Well,
Move
I'll
over
jump
to
into my
yours.
guy. You want me
Yeah.
to, what's that? All right.
Yeah,
So
move over to yours.
my guy Jimenez, he's actually no longer with us anymore. But I still think that he was definitely the unsung hero of the Mets last year, because not only did he provide, the great defense at short that, Rosario was kind of, flaky on, he actually did perform well with his bat. And I've been following this kid since the minors, and he's been an advanced hitter for his age in every level. And the kid's only 20. He's going to be entering his 22-year-old season next year, and he had a 263 batting average with a 333 on base percentage. Now, that's pretty good. A lot of times, young guys they have very low on base percentage because they're so excited, they want to swing at everything. But I honestly think that the Indians they got a future star and Andrés Giménez. And curious, what are your thoughts about this pick of mine?
Well, obviously, he was one of the pleasant surprises we saw in 2020.
Yep.
Another guy who I didn't expect to be so I mean, I can say he was very decent. He was very matured. He had a matured hitting approach. Like you said, his on-base percentage was actually pretty solid. Went the other way a couple of times. Maybe he could, like we mentioned in an earlier podcast, hit with a little more power when he recognized pitches to drive a little bit more. But he was able to hit some the other way, which was pretty impressive. The defense was always there. We knew that. We knew that from scouting reports. We knew that from the clips we were able to see. His bat was the main question. And, I think for, like you said, a 21-year-old, like what he was last year, he's not that big of a dude. So, him, that combination of not being a big dude and his age, I was impressed with how he, how mature, mature type of a bats he had. I wouldn't say he would be a superstar, but he would be a very serviceable shortstop for years to come for the Indians. I definitely believe that.
Let me be clear. I'm not expecting him to be another Lindor, but I think he has the potential to make some all-star appearances, given that he provides, good speed. He's Shortstop is a really deep position, and also I gotta, I didn't think about that before I said that, but I think his bat is a little bit sneakier than a lot of people give him credit for. He's got this nice swing for a little guy, I would like to see him do well because I own him in a lot of my fantasy teams, so maybe I'm just a little biased here.
Well, for you, and he's with the Indians anyway, so who cares if he does well against us? We don't see him that much, so let him do well.
Yeah, plus
My
he's a
word.
former Met. You always want to cheer for a former Mets player to do well, especially a farm piece, because it shows that the Mets maybe they have some kind of they have a good farm system, developing players and good eye for talent, which is always nice to know.
I agree, especially when players did some good things for us, worked their asses off to get better. And Andrés Giménez helped us get Carrasco and Lindor, so he has done
Yeah,
plenty for
exactly.
us. So, in that case, why not wish him the best?
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. Him and the two, other two prospects were the big deciding factor. Rosie was more of a throw-in deal. Who I think might also do well, not superstar, but. Let's see what happens there with the Indians. I'm actually going to be following to see what happens there with the prospects as well, because I was a fan of Isaiah Green and Wolf, so
Yeah,
let's
same.
see what
Same.
happens here.
Yeah, very
Now,
curious, as always, with prospects heading over or players heading over. I always want to follow them as much as I can.
yeah, I mean. Let's see what happens. But let's talk about next year. Who do we think is going to be our unsung hero for next year? Who you? I'll go first because you got a pretty good one. So I think that Luis Guillerme is going to be the unsung hero for the Mets next year because he's got really good defense, and I'm not really buying his on-base percentage that he produced last year. But if he can get close to that's phenomenal. I mean, he came in with was it? Let me just check real quick. His on-base percentage was a point 426. Granted, he didn't have that much at bats and play appearance, but I like that. I like that he had a. And looking at his minor league stats, he's had some nice on-base percentage years.
Yes.
He's also defensively. We looked. The fact is that we need a third baseman who can come in defensively. And people forget that we have Guillerme. When you think about third base, the only people that they're talking about is JD Davis and McNeil covering there. He's so undervalued, under the radar, that we just forget he's even with this team. And I think that next year he's gonna, if he gets regular at bats, he might add value to his name, and he might be a household name, like one of those favorite Mets, you know, because of their gloves. What do you think? Yeah,
he should be, in my honest opinion. The guy raked since the second half of 2019 and always is shoved on the side, but not only by the fans, but also by the Mets personnel themselves. I mean, I'm a huge Todd Frazier fan.
Yeah.
I think he's a great guy and he's fun, and I like that in players. So his personality, I truly love. But if we look at getting Todd Frazier was a smart move last year in the position we had, I don't think so, because we had Luis Guillorme, who was playing really, really yep. well. So he's really. Now is the first time the Mets make a trade to lose two of their shortstop, get one back. Hey, we also have Luis Guillorme. And it's the first time I've seen the Mets organization do that. Well, who's our backup was the question when the Mets traded the two shortstops. I think Sandy Alderson mentioned, well, we also have Luis Guillorme. And,
everybody forgets about him.
Everybody forgets about him. And yes, you're totally right about him, you know, being that type of player who can play a very solid third as well. And if you have Stroman on the mound, play Guillorme and not J.D. Davis, because you need to play Guillorme then. And I think Guillorme earns a lot of playing time and should have a lot of playing time. And he will get a lot of playing time.
He gets a lot of walks, you know. He doesn't really strike out too much, which is something that you look for. You need more players like that. Not everybody's got to go in there hitting bombs. If he can get on base, he's gonna boost the runs that come in.
Yeah, that's
for the Mets.
That's what the Mets offense need, right? They have a lot of bombers. They have a lot of very good hitters, but you also need those guys who get on base in front of those great hitters. Pete Alonso, yeah, he walks enough, but he's your bomb. He's your bumper. He's your big dude. J.D. Davis won't be in the lineup back then, but I believe he can be that type of hitter, you know, driving the ball and getting runners from first to home with a double or a home run or whatever they do. And Guillorme, like you said, he doesn't strike out a lot. He always in the minors had a pretty good on-base percentage. I mean, I don't think he will have a on-base percentage above 400, but that was also because he had a really good batting average. So I think that will go, you know, slightly to his normal level. But the guy is a very good bat-to-ball hitter, and he knows where to place the balls through the infield. He's a bit of an old-school hitter, and like McNeil, actually, nice bat-to-ball ratio. So I love Luis Guillorme, and he can defend like he can catch bats. So why he can catch everything?
That's true.
So
yeah, I was just looking at his BABIP, because you mentioned how he can put the ball everywhere, and like this BABIP was extremely high last season. It was at a 463. So we can definitely expect a decrease on that batting average and on-base percentage there. But
not too much, because that's part of his game. I mean, there's a difference between if Pete Alonso has a very high BABIP, because he's not really trying to do that. Guillorme is trying to do that, although obviously it's still high, but he's trying to, you know, get his batted balls through, because that's what he does. And that's what makes him good. It's a different type hitter.
I'll expect him hitting like a 380, 370. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that's his normal BABIP range. But, you know, 463 is pretty inflated. And, you know, people will start shifting on Guillorme if he becomes a regular guy. And that'll probably decrease his BABIP, and they'll start playing the fields
again slightly, because he has the ability to. It's just like McNeil, like the article I write wrote about McNeil. When they not shifted McNeil, he hit more home runs, so he went shifted to the pole fights way more. And then in 2020, they shifted him way more. And McNeil, betting efforts stayed good, but his power went away. And in my opinion, that's only because he, you know, went more the other way. I think Jorma doesn't need to pull anything because he doesn't hit for power. So
yeah, scrappy.
Yeah, they can shift all they want. I think he still finds holes, and that's his game, and that's where he's really good at. So I don't have.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Shall I move over to my pick?
Yeah, let's go over yours.
Actually, before we prepared this podcast, I went with Guillermo Heredia as my unsung hero. Mainly because first, if you look at our squad, we have a lot of people on paper where I really do expect a lot from. Maybe you can say JD Davis, but a little bit more to his 2019 hitting year, and I truly believe he can do. But is that, to me, in the category unsung hero? Yeah, not really, because we have seen it from him. But Heredia, with the addition of Albert Amora Jr., will likely be in AAA and be a depth center fielder there. So I changed my pick to Albert Amora Jr. For actually the same reasons I had Guillermo Heredia. And that's because I think Albert Amora Jr. will have a big role for the Mets this coming year. He will be mainly in there for his defense, and I think his defense will be really good. He had, like I mentioned earlier, plus 14 outs above average since 2017. Yeah, off the top of my head, he had in the 82 percentile in sprint speed. So he's a really good center fielder who can cover a lot of ground. And that's something the Mets just desperately need. And if the Mets have a DH, he will be that late inning guy, that guy that will be in the lineup when they need an outfielder who can cover ground. But that's if there don't be a DH. But if there will be a DH, you can slot him being your ninth hitter. And there it comes, platooning him with Malik Smith. Because, yes,
hey,
I do like that idea if the Mets have a DH to go full on defense in center field for how to fill their lineup in. And I think Amora Jr. is a big part of the Mets with just his defense. And I'm not even talking about his bat, but we need his defense. And that's important. And He will thrive in that because he's a very good defender. So I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, so I'm looking at his Baseball Savant page right now and his Statcast numbers. The things that pop right away is his sprint speed. He's ranked in the 82 percentile. Yeah. His strikeout percentage is also pretty good, 74 percentile. And, of course, outs above average is 81. And outfielder jump is 92. The rest of the numbers are nothing exciting. There's nothing that's going to wow you. But who knows? Yeah. Maybe a little tweak in his mechanics can allow him to raise his batting average a little bit higher or something that'll be useful. Well,
he had two pretty good years in 2016 to 2018. I think that's 3 years, by the way. And he worked with Chili Davis in those seasons. So let's hope that them reuniting gets Amora back to being that type of player. And then he still wasn't a great hitter, but he was better than he was the last 3 years. So, but like I said, if you say to me 90 percentile in outfielder's jump, 82 percentile is sprint speed, I mean that's covering ground out there. That's what we need.
Yeah, definitely. And I've said this before, having a good center fielder is going to make Brandon Nimmo and Michael Conforto Conforto a better outfielder defensively as well. If you got a
No
guy in
doubt.
center field who can cover that ground, then Conforto and Nimmo don't need to have to, they don't have to worry about running as quick to those center left, center right balls. So I think, you know, Nimmo's defensive numbers have looked horrible, but that's just because there's nobody in center field that can cover him, you know? But with Almora, it's going to be interesting. How would it work? What would the daily lineup look like, you think? Will Almora get starts, or he's just a fourth outfielder and defensive comes in later?
Yeah, it depends on the DH. If the Mets have a DH, if the DH is there, well, the Braves signed Ozuna, so maybe they hoped or think there's a DH. If there's a DH, I see him batting ninth and playing center field with maybe him a little bit more than Malik Smith, but also Malik Smith on the bench. Although Malik Smith is a lefty hitter, but yeah, they can figure that out, how they platooned and how they share the time. If there isn't a DH, I see him more in the Marisnik type role.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? I think the timing of his contract will work out to where, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong can take over center field.
Let's hope that will be perfect. I mean, yeah, obviously that would be great.
Because he's a free agent in 2023, and Pete's supposed to make his debut either 2022 or 2023. No reason to rush the kid. Let him do his thing in the minors, and when he's fully ready. And I think he's going to climb up quickly. So the reality is, we might see PCA replacing Albert Almora at center field, and maybe Conforto, if they don't extend him, you know, we'll see them out there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, I mean, PCA already has the defense, so it's all about the bat. And if his bat, you know, is all right, I take his defense. I mean, his defense is a little bit undervalued by a lot of people, but yeah, is good enough already. So I can see that happening, definitely.
Cool. Well, we have, if you want, a couple more minutes to talk about anything else.
We don't have time for our last segment, right?
We could do a quick one.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay.
Do the Mets have a playoff caliber rotation as it is right now? Go.
Go ahead. That's the question, right?
Caliber rotation as it is, yes.
So yeah, I think that, you know, having three great starters, which the Mets, you know, they have Stroman, they have DeGrom, they have Syndergaard will probably come back out there. They have Carlo Carrasco. I mean, come on, like, just those four right there, they have what it takes to be an effective starting rotation in the playoffs. Your three-headed monster is obviously going to be, you know, Jake, Carrasco, and depending on Syndergaard's health, it's either going to be Syndergaard or Stroman. So answer the question, yes. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, in the playoffs, you see how the Nationals did it in 2019. If the Mets are able to get there, that's the main question with this rotation and this team, in my honest opinion. If they get there, they have the best pitcher in baseball. They have Carlos Carrasco, who is really good, and people underestimate what he's capable
Definitely.
Of. And, you know, if you have a healthy Syndergaard, that's a great three. In a longer series, you need four. So then you need Stroman and Syndergaard to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But, to make it quick, they have a good enough rotation to get through the playoffs with the lineup they have, definitely.
Yeah, well, this is the 45-minute mark, so we did great. I encourage you guys to please interact with us. Let us know what you want to hear more of. Let us know how we do. Give us a like, give us a follow, and subscribe. Any words, Corne?
Well, this was the first episode, and I think we need to be more dorky in the coming weeks, but we will do that. So, if anybody has something they want to learn about statistics or anything like that, or want to learn about a certain player in statistically wise, we can look up to that, and we can talk about a couple of players which people like to know more of and more digging deeper into those statistics, because we are the Dorky Mets fans. So for
That's
next episodes, we need to make our name be known this week.
we gotta live up to the name. Yeah, we plan for a different type of podcast, but the next one will definitely be dorky. All
Exactly.
right. Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.